I'm Debbie Reber, and welcome to Tilt Parenting, a podcast featuring interviews and conversations aimed at inspiring, informing, and supporting parents raising differently wired kids. I get a lot of questions from listeners looking for help navigating complex situations with their kids. So in this new mini episode format, I'll be answering listener questions, sometimes all on my own, sometimes with one of the parent coaches from the Differently Wired Club, and sometimes with an author or expert who's become a trusted resource. Think of these bite-sized, short and sweet parent-leaning episodes as a quick check-in. One question, one answer, featuring strategies, tips, or reframes that can support you in your parenting world. To submit a question for a parent-leaning episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. All right, here's today's episode. Hey, everybody. I am here with Seth Perler, my friend, my colleague, who is generously joining me for this Parent Lean-In episode. If you're not familiar with Seth, he is an executive function coach and consultant with extensive experience addressing extraordinarily diverse learning needs. He's been on the show a bunch of times before. We talk a lot about executive function. My kid has interviewed Seth for a conversation before. And Seth is really passionate about meeting the unique needs of students, and he places heavy emphasis on addressing social, emotional, lifestyle, and executive function issues to really help students create amazing lives for themselves. I know that's kind of your big picture mission. So, you guys, if you're not familiar with Seth, he has a ton of resources on his website, which is sethperler.com. He also recently launched this awesome community called the Executive Function Lab. He coaches people there on how to get results. He offers a ton of tools and is just a great community. So you can find out more about that at executivefunctionlab.com. So hello,
Seth.
And
the summit, which is coming up this summer, executivefunctionsummit.com in August.
And how many years has that been running now?
I think it's the sixth year.
Oh my goodness, TFOS. Yes, crazy. That's another amazing event. So check out Seth for all the things. But as you'll hear from this episode, he's also, yeah. I learn every time I talk to Seth. He's got a lot of great insight. So welcome to the show, Seth.
Hey, Debbie.
So this question was called in from a listener. I'm going to play it for y'all, and then we will get to some ideas.
Hey, Debbie. My name's Ashley, and I have a question about my son, who's currently a fifth grader. And of course, I'm already thinking ahead to him going into sixth grade and middle school and just the sheer amount of changes that will happen in that time with multiple teachers, you know, navigating different classrooms. He will go from not having homework to having homework, just a lot. And to be honest, I feel really overwhelmed at that prospect. His fourth grade was very challenging. This fifth grade year has actually gotten a lot better as we've made adjustments to his IEP. And I'm just wondering, what are the ways in which we can prepare him? What are ways to get him ready for that? And really, I'm curious to know if you have experience or have any recommendations to get connected with people that do like part-time school, like maybe go for partial days and do more schoolwork at home. I'm just worried that a full day of middle school ongoing for a year is going to be too much.
Okay, so I have some thoughts. I'll kick us off and then Seth will hear what you have to say. So gosh, as I read this, I felt this parent's anxiety. I have been there. Like at every stage, I'm always kind of looking at the future, the next 6 months, the next year, the next school year, and trying to anticipate all of the potential problems so that I can proactively plan for all of them so that I can prevent anything bad from happening. So I get into this like really, you know, kind of hyperactive control mode. I want guarantees, essentially. So I just want to put that out there to start with, that it is actually impossible to plan for every potential possibility, to kind of force this, you know, ideal or perfect future to unfold and to control what's going to happen. And I know this because I've tried many, many times. So it's impossible to do, and it can be very stressful and put a lot of pressure on ourselves to think that we have to figure it all out. So just putting that out there. With that said, couple things. One is, first of all, I'd start by talking to your kid, and not right now, because, you know, you want to do this as the school year gets closer over summer break, and not one big conversation, but just kind of check in with your kid here and there, you know, find out what is he worried about, if anything at all. This might not be on his radar at all, but get a sense about what does he think it's going to be like? Is there anything he's concerned about? Anything he's really excited about? So I would like be having these ongoing small conversations to kind of get a sense of where he's at, so that if there are some specific concerns that he has, or some, I guess, blind spots is the word that's coming to mind. Like, he might think this is going to be easy, but you as a parent know this is not going to be that easy. So kind of identify those things and then start to kind of proactively plan for some of those things. Like, you'll start to get a sense of where the gaps are, where you anticipate there being some challenges. And so thinking about, okay, what are some things I can put in place? What are some ways we can maybe pick one or two skills to start building right now? Again, in collaboration with your child, and in a way that your child can feel some agency over it and excitement over learning those things. So that's one thought. My second thought, and then I'm going to pass the baton to you, Seth, is while we can't plan for the future, we can, again, anticipate this might not go well, or I could see this happening, and we can come up with some if this, then that ideas, just to kind of help our mind quiet down. So we're not going to be able to plan for every potential outcome. Something's going to happen that we could never have predicted. That's just the way life is. But we can kind of say, okay, if all the crap hits the fan, then this is what we'll do next, you know, and just kind of give yourself a limited period of time to come up with, okay, if this, then that, a couple of options, so you can quiet your mind and say, you know what? I know you're anxious about this, but we've already discussed it. We have a backup plan. And now I'm just going to turn off the anxiety or try to be gentle with that part of myself and just be curious and let this unfold, because I don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen. So those are some initial thoughts. We're going to take a quick break. And then, Seth, I'd love to hear from you on this. If you listen to the show, you probably know that at least 1 in 5 children is differently wired. But did you know that approximately 1 in 2 women will experience hair thinning? If you're part of that 50%, you are absolutely not alone. But because hair thinning for women isn't something people openly talk about, going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. So why not do something about it with Nutrafol? Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth isn't going to cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow throughout different stages, postpartum, menopause, even for different lifestyles like a plant-based diet. To get your personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes, you can take a simple hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com. And because there's no prescription required, you can quickly get set up online with free shipping and automated deliveries, which make it so much easier to stick with your new hair care routine. See results in 3 to 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code TILT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code TILT. This year, I've been working on becoming more attuned to my body, and so I'm starting to really recognize how periodic spikes in anxiety or disruptions to my routines can seriously throw my whole system off. And as I've been traveling a ton this past month, which is both disruptive and somewhat stressful, I'm especially glad that I have the extra support of Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement from Ritual with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome.
Symbiotic Plus provides fuel to the cells that make up the gut lining to support a healthy gut barrier. And it comes in this very cool minty delayed release capsule, which was specifically designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract for delivery to the colon. The bonus is that the capsules don't need to be refrigerated, so I can easily bring them with me in my carry-on. On a personal level, I love that Ritual is committed to sustainability. They're a female-founded B Corp, meaning they are holding themselves accountable long-term to not only think about their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/tilt. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/tilt for 25% off.
All right, Seth. So tell me what came up for you when you first heard this question.
The first thing that came up for me was I was super excited that they're being proactive because I hear so many parents that say, you know, we saw red flags when they were in third or fourth grade and didn't do anything about it. And now they're in 10th grade and blah, blah. So it is so good that they are being proactive. And I also thought that, you know, they're wondering if it might be too much for their kid. Well, it probably will be. On the other hand, sometimes we find out that they really step up, especially if the parent's proactive and your child can feel capable and like they have a toolkit. So I want you to imagine a toolbox in your garage, and that toolbox has a bunch of tools in it, and you know how to use most of them a little bit. That's what you want to start sixth grade with. Now, I taught fifth and sixth grade for 6 or 7 years, 5-6 combo. I love that age, by the way. It is probably my favorite age. I think it's such a cool age. And it's such a great opportunity. It's such a great opportunity to have big influence on these kids as they're coming into who they are. But they can, if they can really, as I said before, they can really step up to it if they feel like they have a little bit of a toolbox. That way, when they go in on the first day, there's a foundation and stuff makes sense to them. They have a much better idea of what's going on. So I love that the parent asked this. So in terms of like figuring out how to do that, there's a couple of thoughts. There's a lot of thoughts that I'll get into in a minute. But first of all, in my summit and my executive function lab and my course, the UGYG course, like I, especially the course, I go through really everything that you need for that foundation. So there's that shameless plug there. And then the second thing is that we must plan. And this is exactly what you were talking about. We can't do everything. It's not going to happen. It's not realistic, but we can take steps to plan. And there are specific concrete things that your child will need. And I love the if then, then that approach. But that allows you now to be proactive during the summer and to use the summer to write up a plan, hopefully with buy-in and ownership, hopefully with your child for the summer, where you spread it out, the different things that you're going to do to plan and get some buy-in right now to and write it on a big giant wall calendar, which I love, that on this day we're going to work on your SSS, what I call a sacred study space. On this day, we're going to research your teacher's websites and learn about them. On this day, we're going to set up a tour. On this day, we'll do school shopping, et cetera. So set up several times during the summer when you can have fun, when it's relaxed, when you can, but set it up now on the calendar with your child and then follow through. Take time to do those things. And like Debbie said, discuss what it's going to be like, get buy-in and ownership, ask them what they think. And then here are some specific, can I share some specific
Please.
Things that,
yeah.
So as somebody who taught this grade and has worked with all these families, so things that you can do, I would really encourage you to use the big giant desk calendar on the wall and a planner over the summer with your child. And that when your child says, when are we going to so-and-so, that your response should always be, oh, it's right there on the calendar, and not rescue them and tell them, get them looking at the calendar, make it so that it's there's no resistance to it. It's just an easy thing for them. They're used to working with calendars or a planner, either way, but something to start scaffolding that. I cannot tell you how important planning and planners and calendars and calendaring and learning skills around that are. So start doing that now. Next thing, just think of outside the box ideas. But one outside the box idea I had with this one is, you know, your kid's going to be going from class to class to class, is to have a quote locker at home, meaning that you can have a little box or a space at home that is, you can even call the locker for just for the summer, that where they're just sort of getting used to, oh, this is where I have to go to get the thing. So again, like with the calendar, when your kid says, when are we doing this? You can say, well, look at the calendar. When they say, where is this? You can say, well, go check your locker. And you can be using that as a place to leave things for them, like if they're going to summer camp and they need things during there, et cetera. So another thing I did want to say when they were asking about the different class schedules and different types of options around that, that if there is an opportunity to take fewer classes, I'd really rather see the child take fewer classes and be able to get their skills down during that first year. So that's really wise if there are and different kinds of creative options like what they're asking about. Next thing is if they can tour the school, do the tour, ask if you can do a tour, go early. Like if kids can go into middle school and walk around, get familiar with it, if you can go to the playground during the summer several times and they can start understanding the layout, it is really overwhelming for kids when they're coming into sixth grade to understand, especially with all these big kids walking all around and where their locker is and how the bells work and all that. So do tours. And then set up meetings proactively with the teachers. Don't wait for conferences. Say, hey, can we pop in and say hi for 5 minutes? And if you can, bring your child with you and just say, hey, we wanted to know a few things. And this leads into the next one. The few things that you might ask them in a meeting with them is what you can also put in an advocacy email proactively to the teachers to, one, ask about certain things, and two, to share about your kid. You do not want to write a giant email to the teachers. They have a lot going on at the beginning of the year. Just a quick, hey, here's three things that my kid responds well to and three questions for you. But some of the most important questions that I have for teachers are, when do you post homework on your portal? How accurate is it? What if we need an extra copy? Where do we turn things in? How reliable are you about posting the grades? Like, do you do it? Some teachers post right away, and then teachers are really aware, and some do it once every month or month and a half. It's like really random. And then you find out your kid is failing the class and has a bunch of zeros. So I'd want to get some clarity around some of those things, like how long should homework take, whatever your questions are. So I would not ask them 50 questions. Mm-hmm. If you meet them, that's one thing, but in an email, keep it short. And then you can set up accountability proactively, like, hey, maybe we can start study groups with one of your friends every Sunday or every Wednesday, and we just have a study party and make it fun. And like that can be some sort of accountability, a tutor, you can set it up now, things like that. Setting up a homework routine during the summer, talking through your child, what would a homework routine look like? Let's set up our study space, the SNO, which is my Sunday night overhaul. Let's figure out what we're going to do once a week to overhaul your systems. Start using a timer during the summer and model it, whether or not you're using it with them. Use a timer a lot, then this can A, help with them understanding how the bells are working there and how long 3 minutes is or whatever, but also just helping them grasp how long things take more effectively so that they can anticipate the gravity of the homework, because the handholding stops a lot of times in sixth grade and the wheels can fall off. Declutter during the summer. And then my last thing is after the decluttering is organize and label things with your kid, make it fun, make it a party, get cool boxes and stuff like that. Put big giant labels on it so that they have a decluttered space of their own for their studying, for their own personal stuff, and that they're really ready to hit the ground running. That was a lot.
Such good insights. Like every time I hear you talk about this stuff, I'm like, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I missed that window. But I love all those specific strategies. I love the locker at home. I've never heard that before. So
I just made that one up today.
I love it. I love that.
But think weird creative thoughts like that, you know?
Yeah, it's great. It's brilliant. And I love what you said, just to kind of wrap up, that our kids also can surprise us. So just staying curious and open, your kid's going to be a completely different kid 6 months from now. So just kind of really trusting it in the process and just being present for what is happening. In addition to this planning and like all the stuff that Seth just shared, but again, trying to find that balance between trying to control what's going to happen and creating the right support and the right conditions and then being open to how things are going to unfold. And then I do want to just touch upon, and you mentioned this briefly, the homeschooling piece. It really, I'll just say, it depends on your state, like how flexible schools will be for you to like take some classes at a local public school and then do the rest homeschooling. So I think you'd have to do a little investigating to see what is possible. But depending on the state, certainly that is an avenue some people take. They might have their kids do like math or science or gym or PE or other things at a local school, but then they can do these kind of deeper areas of interest, these concentrated interests in a different way that would really kind of play to their kids' strengths. So that might be possible. So much wisdom in here. I want to just like highlight, Seth mentioned his UGYG. That is his online course. It's called Upgrade Your Grades. And you can learn more about that at sethperler.com. So definitely check out the show notes for this page. There'll be a ton of resources on how you can learn more about executive functioning and the executive function lab and connect with Seth. But Seth, thank you for joining me today and for sharing all this. And thanks to the listener for this great question. Anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Thanks for what you do, Debbie. And thank you everybody for listening and just taking that active role, taking action to support your kids.
Yeah, awesome. All right, bye everybody.
You've been listening to the Tilt Parenting Podcast. To learn more about the resources mentioned in this Parent Lean In episode, go to the extensive show notes page on tiltparenting.com. To submit a question for a future episode, just go to tiltparenting.com/lean-in. That's tiltparenting.com/LEANIN. If you're looking for personal support from me and connection with the phenomenal community of parents raising neurodivergent kids, join us in the recently rebooted Differently Wired Club. The new Differently Wired Club can help you cultivate the positive shifts you're hoping for. Go to tiltparenting.com/club to learn more. The Tilt Parenting Podcast is hosted by me, Debbie Reber, author of Differently Wired and the founder of Tilt Parenting. To support this show, please join my Patreon campaign where you can set up a small monthly contribution. Just go to patreon.com/tiltparenting to learn more. If you want to follow Tilt on social media, go to @tiltparenting on Instagram and Facebook. Lastly, please take a minute to leave a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps this show stay visible so others can find it more easily. And that's all for this week. Stay safe, stay well, and take good care. And for more information about any of the parenting resources Tilt offers, visit tiltparenting.com.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.